2 Peter chapter 1, and let's start in verse number 16, and we'll read down through the end of the chapter. We're not going to complete the chapter here. We'll come back and look at verses 20 and 21 again, Lord willing, but we are going to cover them anyway a little bit, because just to get the whole of the context here on the verses that we are dealing with. So, again, 2 Peter, we're dealing with the subject of doctrinal deviations. Today, the Bible, a more sure word, a more sure word. He talks about there's a more sure word of prophecy, and he speaks about the Holy Scriptures here. And so I want to think about that a little bit today. The Bible, a more sure word. Verse 19 says that. If you read it, it says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. So, consider that. Let's read the verses, though, to begin with. Start with verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Talking about the Bible today, about the Bible, a more sure word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we go further. Lord, we sense our need of help today and of your grace, your mercy. We pray that you would help us, Lord, to understand the words that we read here, and that you'd strengthen us, and it would be light to us, that it might guide us along the way. It might be that would be profitable, Lord, for instruction to us and to the joy of our life. And Lord, just pray that you might bless, that we'd have peace and joy and blessing as a result. And we just pray for encouragement, Lord, for each one that's going through whatever our trials are that we're going through right now, that you'd grant to us encouragement and strength and hope. And I just pray also, Lord, that you would guard us against the false views and false beliefs that we need to be aware of. And we just pray that you would help us and comfort us and strengthen us, Lord, today with your truth, that we'd have the peace that you'd have us to have. In Jesus' name and for his glory, amen. Okay, so Peter would remind these saints, and he's doing so, of the need for inward virtue that he talked about, that we looked at in the previous verses here, in verses 5 and set down to verse 7. And so that inward virtue that he speaks of there, he says, hey, that's in order to maintain stability in what they believe. And they're going to be closer to the Lord as a result. And we've looked at that. And they'll be drawn closer to the Lord. And as they will abound if they're, as the scripture is saying here, as they walk the way and as they live, and especially inwardly, that their heart is where it needs to be, that they're close to the Lord and the Lord's going to lead them, and he's going to cause that they're not barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord. And so we want to be fruitful in the knowledge of the Lord. We want to have the Lord's will on our hearts. We want to have the Lord's purposes, the Lord's plan in our life. We want to be cognizant of it, understanding it, and walking according to it every day. That's what we want. How many of us are successful at doing that completely? No. None of us. It's on the job training, right? The Lord says, hey, this is what you are. You're a doctor. And now you're going to have to just practice. He's already told us we're righteous. He's already told us by salvation that we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He's already told us that we stand complete in Christ. That we are complete as a child of God. No child of God is in a better standing than any other child of God. We're all in completeness through Christ. But as we have that completeness in Christ, that's our standing with God. He says, hey, you're already a doctor. Now start acting like one. Now start living like one. And we do that not because that we think that we're going to lose the position that we have in Christ. We do it out of love and out of gratitude for what the Lord has done for us. And so out of pure love and a liberty that the Lord has granted to us, the child of God tearfully wants to please the Lord, wants to do what he'd have us to do. And so we find here the apostle speaks now about, okay, you got this inward virtue, add to these things inwardly so that you'll not lack in your knowledge of the Lord, and so that when you're walking with the Lord, that you're not going to be led astray with errors that are going to cause you problems. It isn't errors that are going to, it's not like the Lord wants to make you some supreme being in knowledge so that you can correct everybody else. He wants us to have a knowledge of Him and a working knowledge of Him so that we can please Him and so that our life be fulfilled, so that we be joyful, so that we be have the resources and be a blessing as well to others, be a help to other people. So Peter's here saying in the context here, he's bringing us to this point of saying now what is it, and how is it we know what this truth is? How is it we know? When he talks about the knowledge of the Lord, what is the knowledge of the Lord, and how do you know you have it? And so now he says, okay, here's my credentials. And he'll talk about his credentials here because he's an apostle. He happened to be one of three apostles that was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus Christ, Peter, James, and John, those three. The inner circle, as some people call them. The inner circle with the Lord Jesus of the apostles. Closest three apostles that the Lord revealed a lot of things to, and revealed especially in this occasion. He separated them, even from the rest of the apostles, to show them, to allow them to have a testimony about that would follow his resurrection. He told them, don't tell anything about this until after the resurrection. But it'd be a testimony that would follow the resurrection and be a testimony of, again, of credential, if you will, in some sense, to Simon Peter, to James, and to John. And we read here about Peter's credentials first in verse 16. And then we'll look at the voice. He talks about the voice of God, the voice of God. How important is the voice of God? God's voice. Well, I mean, we need to hear God's voice, right? I mean, if it were so that God were in this day were just speaking from heaven, you'd want to hear Him. As a child of God, you would. You'd want to hear Him. You'd want to hear from Him. And so, how is He doing that today? And in what way can we be assured that it's God that's speaking? And so, we'll look at that a little bit. We'll look at the voice of God. And then this more sure word that Peter talks about here, that Peter says he has, this more sure word. And then finally we'll give how that God has given us the content of this more sure word, verse 20 and 21. We're not going to get deep into that, but we'll look at it. We'll consider it. So first, the credentials of Peter. He says, we have not followed. He says, hey, I want to impress upon you the importance of these things, because I'm telling you, I'm going to endeavor to make sure that you're reminded of them. I'm going to remind you of them, and I'm going to be sure that when I'm gone that you'll be reminded of them. So they're important things. And he says, for we have not fought. So this is why they're so important and why you can listen to me, Peter says, why you can read this letter and realize that it's a letter that has authority. Okay? First and Second Peter are scripture. They're God's word. And so even though God is using Peter to write them down, and he's going to explain this in verse 21. He's going to explain how it happens. But Peter is going to be used, and God's going to use his personality. God's going to use his writing style. God's going to use the way he would communicate. And he is even going to communicate to Peter in such a way as that this is his thought process even. But it'll be the Holy Spirit that is speaking. And the Holy Spirit is going to so govern Peter's lips and Peter's pen that what the end result will be the Word of God. It'll be the Scriptures, the Holy Scripture. So he starts by saying, listen, listen to the authority of this. We did not follow some cunningly devised fables. I mean, we knew a lot of the things of the Lord, and we could have made up some stuff. We could have come up with some cunningly devised system of doctrine, system of teaching that would have been very impressive maybe. But he said we didn't do that. It wasn't the plan. It says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we showed you how that Christ Jesus came. See, I'm a witness of the fact that Christ Jesus came into this world. And the power of his coming. I saw all the miracles that he did. I saw all the things that just manifest the fact that this is God. This is no one else but God himself. And so I see that. I've seen it. I testified of it. I continue to testify of it. And he says, I came when I showed you the power and the coming, all the details of how he came into this world and what it was about and his coming and his first coming being for the main purpose, for the chief purpose of dying on the cross. That being his chief purpose in coming to this world. He says, hey, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, I've manifested that to you. I've made it known to you. And all I did was just tell you what happened. That's all I did. Just told you what happened. And so he says, but we're eyewitnesses of his majesty. So not just no slick stories, but firsthand gospel truth about the first coming of the Lord, Peter says, I was an eyewitness. And we were eyewitnesses of the Lord. The apostles were eyewitnesses of the Lord, and some others were too. Then he speaks about, verse number 17, the Mount of Transfiguration. He's speaking here about the voice of God, God's voice. In verse 17, for he received, that is the Lord did, Christ, received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him, to Christ, from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Whose voice? Well, the Father, the Heavenly Father's voice, saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's the Mount of, what Peter's referring to is the Mount of Transfiguration, back when he was with Peter, with James and John there on the Mount of Transfiguration. If you go back to Matthew chapter 17, let's just refresh our memory a little bit about this. In Matthew chapter 17, and we look there at verses, we start with verse number 1, and we'll read down to about verse 9. Matthew chapter 17, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brothers, so James and John, brothers, Peter, James, and John, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. So he separates them, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine, is transfigured in a sense of glorified before them. And it says that his face did shine. Can you imagine? As the sun. and his raiment was white as the light. It's kind of like a picture that John would later receive of the Lord whenever he would write the book of Revelation. And you remember that there at the beginning of the book of Revelation, there's a description of the Lord there. And it says, "And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias." So Moses and Elijah talking with him. "Then answered Peter." So they're alive too. Moses and Elijah alive, right? He's not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. They're folks that come to know the Lord. They're alive forever, and they're in his presence there. "Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias." There's Simon Peter in his impetuous ways. And Simon Peter, impulse, knee-jerk, says, "Oh, Lord, this is great. This is a great opportunity. You know, let's make some tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said," forget about Moses and Elijah. That's my paraphrase a little bit about what is said out of the cloud. The cloud says, "This is my beloved son." Hear him. "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Pay attention to him. You know, you want to focus, Peter, sometimes you get off track. You want to focus on Moses and Elijah. Well, I want you to focus on the Son of God, on Jesus Christ. That's where we need to be. Need to be focused on him. "And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only." So Moses and Elijah are gone now. See, there's the law and the prophets. In a sense, there's the law and the prophets in the sense of one represented the law and one represented the prophets in a sense here. But at any rate, they're both gone. And he says, "Hey, you want to listen to me? You want to hear," God said, "hear him." "And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead." Did the disciples know that Jesus was going to rise again from the dead? They were told, weren't they? They were told again and again. This wasn't the only time. They were told he was going to die and was going to rise again. They didn't believe it. They didn't understand it. They didn't think it was to be interpreted literally. I don't know. But Jesus' words had described that to them again and again. But at any rate, what we see here is the Mount of Transfiguration. We see the time when Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the mountain, scared them to death. Just literally scared them to death. I mean, they were so full of fear and fright at the very appearance of Jesus Christ, in a sense, glorified before them. It was quite the sight. Now, as I say, John would write of it again. He would write as he was given another vision later on for the book of Revelation. But the Mount of Transfiguration, testimony of God's Son from the Father. He's well pleased with him. Would you say that was a pretty sure word of prophecy? I mean, you talk about, here's God speaking, and these three, Peter, James, and John, are there, and Peter says, "Hey, you know, let's make these three tabernacles," and God says, sends a cloud over all of them and says, "This is my beloved Son, you know, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him. Hear ye him." Pretty strong message. Will they remember it? Oh, no, doubtless they'll remember this. Doubtless. Without any question, they're going to remember it. And he would tell them, "Don't tell anybody until I've risen, until the resurrection." And so we find here this event. What's the key here to this event that Peter is now bringing up in 2 Peter? The key is how solid and how influential God's word was to the three of them. Okay? God's word was extremely influential. They had no doubt at that time. They fell down afraid whenever God spoke to them the way he did and said, "Hear him." I mean, it was clear. This is God's beloved son, and we don't want to mess around. This is serious stuff. And God says, "I'm pleased with him." And God said, "This is my son. Hear him." Important. A very sure word in the sense of truth, of prophecy, of testifying of the reality of life. So Peter says, that voice that we heard, look at verse 18 again, it says, "And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." We heard God speak. We heard God's voice. That is a sure word about Christ, for certain. No question about it. But, Peter says, next point. A more sure word that Peter says he has in verse number 19. Says, "We have also," in other words, like how sure that God's word was when he spoke from heaven and we heard him speak, "we have also a more sure word of prophecy." Peter, what are you saying? You got a more sure word of prophecy than God speaking from heaven? Not in the sense of the truthfulness of it. The truthfulness is the same. The veracity of the words that were spoken, God's word, and even what Peter's going to write and what it's going to send to these folk is God's word. And so it's just as true as if it were spoken from heaven, is what Peter's saying here. But there's a sense in which it's more sure. It's more solid. There's something more solid about it. What is it that's more solid about it? Well, what's more solid about it is, if you remember, there were only three people that heard an audible voice from heaven. Just three. Peter, James, and John, and Jesus, if you want to include him, that heard the Father speak from heaven. Just those three. And it was just an audible voice. Now, God was going to speak that way for a while until the Holy Scriptures were completed, the New Testament Scriptures were completed, and so there was this sense in which that God was speaking for a transitional period of time, speaking from heaven in a sense in which that he's given prophetic gifts and spiritual gifts to these folk in order that the Holy Scriptures be complete, until the Holy Scriptures are completed. But once they're completed, then what do you have? You have God's word. You have it as though he's spoken to us from heaven. The New Testament, as well as the Old Testament. Now, the New Testament, as though God is speaking to us right from heaven. Peter says, we have also, a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. He says, you need to listen to it. You need to listen to it just as clearly as when I was listening to God the Father speak about the Son of God whenever James and John were there with me on the Mount of Transfiguration. I need to listen just as pay as much heed as back when that happened. And you know what? With the Word of God, you got something that you can go back to, and it's reliable, and it's the same as it was yesterday. And it testifies to us of God, what God said. You say, well, God said this. Well, let's go back and let's look at what God said. Let's not make things up. We didn't follow. Peter says, I didn't follow any cunningly devised fables. I didn't follow something that sounded real good. I'm telling you what God said. I'm telling you, I want you to know that this is what God speaks. And he's going to go on to say this is the way it came. But what, notice he said, pay attention to it. Pay attention to it just like you do the Old Testament scriptures. He's saying. Because he says here, he quotes, he gives a a summary, in a sense, of a whole bunch of scriptures in the Old Testament that tell us what he tells us here in verse number 19. So we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. How many scriptures are there in the Old Testament that say that the word of God is like a light that shines in a dark place? A plethora of them, plenty of them, a bunch of them. And how many of them in the Old Testament say something like, it's a dark place, you know, that we're living in a dark place and we need that light. We need the guiding light. We need the light unto our steps. We need that light that the Lord gives. And he says, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. So you're waiting for something. There's something that's coming. Whenever I believe he's probably referring to the coming of the Lord, the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ here. But at any rate, he's obviously saying this prophecy that we have is like a light. It's like the light of the Old Testament scriptures that you need to listen to. And he says, knowing this first, and he refers back to the Old Testament scripture, says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. So know this, that it isn't something that God gives the meaning to one individual. No, he doesn't give the meaning to it to one individual so that it takes one special person to give us the interpretation of it. He doesn't do that. It isn't of private interpretation. He's given us the word of God so that every child of God can be furnished with all good works. So that every child of God can be resourceful and can be fruitful in the knowledge of the Lord. And so this is a more sure word of prophecy because I'm not Peter. I'm not James. And I'm not John. I'm Mark. And Mark didn't get to go up on the Mass Transfiguration. Okay? I'm not even Mark, not John Mark. But the fact of the matter is, we weren't there. We didn't hear that. So that was a sure word of prophecy in a sense, but it was only to those three. They heard it from heaven, God speaking. But to us, we've got a more sure word of prophecy that's, in a sense, to us, it's a more sure word because it's verifiable. It's here. It's we can look at it. We can read it. And we're to take heed to it just as if it were God speaking directly to us from heaven. So we got this more sure word of prophecy. And it is something that dispels error. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31, Paul's going through the same teaching as Peter was to the folk that he's dealing with. Paul's dealing with folk about the same kind of thing, same matter here, and that is the expansion of the Holy Scriptures at this time. In chapter 12 and verse number 31, he says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. He's talking about these spiritual gifts. You can read chapter 12 and you'll see the spiritual gifts that were given, piecemeal gifts that were given in order for people to understand New Testament truth before the New Testament was written. And he says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and that's good. All those, the gift of tongues, the gift of healing, gives all these different gifts. He says that those are things for the Corinthian church at that time. These were things that you need to covet. He says, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. There's a more excellent way than that. There's a more excellent way. And you know what that more excellent way is? I believe it's what we have today. It's the having the Holy Scriptures. It's having the Scriptures ourselves so that we can know what God says. And we don't have to rely upon piecemeal revelation and having people perform miracles in order to solidify and make sure that we understand that here is, in fact, the truth of God's Word. In chapter 14 and verse 37 of 1 Corinthians, chapter 14 and verse 37, Paul says, if any man think himself to be a prophet, he's saying, be careful with these spiritual gifts even that you have, that they had at the time. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Let him acknowledge that even if you might have this, still be having some of the, during this transition period, some prophetic gifts that are happening so that you'd understand some truth, you'd be comforted in some ways, but don't supersede anything with what I've written to you, because it's the Word of God. It's the commandments of the Lord, what I've written here. So Paul is saying there's something stable here that's going to stabilize things for the saints of God over the years to come. And so we see here, if you look over to chapter 3 of 2 Peter, just for a moment here. And Peter, it's interesting that Peter's letter, the second letter of Simon Peter, is the strongest statement in the New Testament about the reality of the Apostle Paul and the writings that he wrote, that they are in fact Holy Scripture. Okay, Paul himself said it, and there are other evidences as well, clear evidences that it is. But here's one of them. Here's a really strong one, and that's Peter's words. And read it. Read what Peter says here in chapter 3, verse 14. Start verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, talking about the new heavens and new earth, be diligent that you may be found of him, found of the Lord, in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. So he's holding off and coming, but realize that that's okay, that's salvation. Even as our beloved Paul, brother Paul, also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, okay, he talks about all the epistles of Paul, in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest or twist, as they do also the other scriptures. You see, he's saying what Paul wrote in all his epistles, scriptures. They're the scriptures. They're the Word of God. He says, as also they do in all the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness. And we'll get to that. He's saying, hey, don't be led away with the error of the wicked. Stand with the truth. Understand what the scriptures are and hold the scriptures in high account. Hold the scriptures as being the authority, as being as though God is speaking directly to you from heaven. That's the scriptures. He said, remember, Paul said, don't supersede any of that. Don't say that God is saying something when it's in conflict with what the scriptures are saying. And so we need to take hold. And as we look at this passage, it talks about the Bible, a more sure word. We've got this blessed word of that God has given to us as his people, that we would be grounded in the truth, that we'd be able to be able to live our life in such a way as that, you know, when something goes wrong, you can go to the Word of God. You know, when things are difficult, you know what? You got the Word of God to comfort you, to strengthen you, to help you. You know, when things go in such a way as you think, there is just no way to explain this, then you read in a passage of Scripture that says, be still and know that I am God. You know, or you read a passage of Scripture that just tells you that he's going to work all things together for good to them that know, that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You get to the Word of God and it's God speaking to your heart and giving to you just what you need at the time to comfort you, to give you joy. God does not want us as his people to be a people of misery. He wants us to, even though we might go through really hard times, he wants us to lift up our heads even during those hard times and see that the Lord's on the throne and that we can rejoice in him and that he's in control of things and that we've got a brighter day coming. every one of us do as children of God. We got a much brighter day coming, and we can be a people of rejoicing because of it. The Bible, a more sure word. We got something precious here. We sang about this precious treasure that we have. We do have a precious treasure in the Word of God, because this is God's Word. We'll get into that next week, because we read about what Peter does say there in those last two verses of that chapter, and get a little bit more grounded in what that means, that God actually did speak, that the Holy Spirit is the author of this book. And so let's get into it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and blessings to us. Help us, Lord, to be faithful to you, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the truth. Help us, Lord, to desire to please you, desire to want to do your will. Help us, Lord, to live for you and know that you're living for us. To know and to be sure and to be assured from your word, from the promises that we find in your blessed word, that you love us, that you care for us, that you want to fill our hearts with joy and peace in our faith and in believing. Strengthen us, we pray, and give us grace to be there. In Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.